If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You found Atomic Android Radio.
Hello and welcome to In Universe, where we talk the ins and outs of our favorite fictional universes. I'm Adam.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Marco.
And today we're joined by our good friend.
Damn it, Marco.
A veteran of the show, Marco Gomez.
I think you're the only one who's genuinely messed it up when you introduced
us. No.
We've had people confused, but I think you're the only one to fuck it up.
Not true.
I think that is true.
Is it true?
I think that's true. Look, it's a confusing setup.
Look, it is. We should have.
And
told
we
you.
Never
but
told
you've been on the show.
I mean, yeah, but
yeah, you listened to the episodes. You listened to the John episodes.
I did listen to the John episode specifically.
The John episode, by the way, is the Breaking Bad episode with another friend of ours, Jonathan.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to that one yet, check it out.
It's pretty good. We like Breaking Bad.
But anyways, today we're
talking about Dune.
A couple of Dune boys. All three of us.
Yeah, we're all three Dune of us. Heads.
All three
Dune
of us.
Heads.
Yes.
That was a little joke there because
it was a little bit of foreshadowing.
Because I'm not a Dune head. I haven't read the books or seen any of the movies other than this one. I've only heard it explained to me from my good friend Adam Jesus Mom. We have a sort of a prototype of this podcast episode. We did way longer, way earlier than we actually started.
Oh yeah, ages before we even started this show.
Yeah, so if you guys want to listen to that, let us know, because they're dog shit. We have two episodes. It's Dune and Kingdom Hearts, because that's something that one of us liked that the other didn't. And we thought that was a good
premise
for a whole podcast.
And we were wrong.
It's literally one of us sitting there for like an hour explaining that thing to the other person.
But all of that to say, I love Dune. Dune is one of my favorite things ever. I've read every single book. Shut the fuck up about Dune. I've read all six of the original Frank Herbert books multiple times. And I've read the expanded Duneverse by his son, Brian Herbert, and his friend, Kevin J. Anderson, also multiple times. I've read the entire...
Frank Herbert's friend? Or his son's friend. Oh, that's cool. Like, that's like if like your dad had like a legacy, and I like horsed.
Yeah, and you like jumped onto.
Yeah, bandwagoned on you.
Honestly, it's probably because Brian Herbert's not a very good writer.
But him
and Kevin
is?
Kevin J. Anderson is actually a pretty decent writer on his own.
Okay.
But them together make, you know, pretty good stories.
Kevin J. Anderson sounds
he does
familiar.
Work in some, he's done some comic book work.
I think, I might be wrong. I think he's written a couple Star Wars books.
Probably.
I think so. That sounds right. I don't know. Fact check me. Not you now, the people. Anyways,
but yeah, I've read the entire like 16 book series all the way through back to back like 3 times.
Hell yeah, dude.
I loved it. I've seen the 2000 mini series, the sequel to that, Children of Dune, starring James McAvoy. I've seen the 80s movie, which sucks.
And the best one, you mean?
And I saw this most recent one like 3 times.
3 times already. When was the third time?
I watched it with my girlfriend, I watched it when she left, and then I watched it with you guys. You
fucking Jesus. That's one thing. Okay. We'll talk about this movie. So this movie, Dune 2021, pretty good movie.
Very good. I would say pretty good.
Yeah, like as a movie, it's pretty good. I do not understand how you guys could back-to-back it like that.
I mean,
because this movie... It feels like a trek. Like this is a journey of a movie.
I don't know. I'm just very keen on this journey.
Yeah,
I love Dune.
Fair enough.
Dune washes over me like grains of sand.
I've been excited for this movie for a while.
Yeah, so no, a lot of people have. Adam's been really excited.
Yeah,
obviously.
I don't get excited for things really, but movies in general.
Yeah, no. He was even willing to look past the fact that Dave Bautista's in this movie.
Yeah. I don't know if my grand hatred of Dave Bautista has really come up on this show yet.
I think it's been our prototype up. Dune episode.
Yeah. No, the Dune episode. You guys specifically talked to lengths about how much.
So, hell yeah.
In the original prototype of this show where we talk about
maybe Dune, this episode.
Maybe. I go into a long diatribe of just how much I despise Dave Bautista as an actor. Not as much as a person, he's probably just a normal guy. But as an actor, he's absolutely fucked. I hate him. And it takes up a long portion of that to the point where I think that one on my computer is titled Dune parentheses Dave Bautista.
Hell
no,
yeah.
Parentheses fuck Dave Bautista.
Hell yeah.
Marco, you're our guest because you've also read the Dune book. What is your other relationship with Dune? Like, how far into it have you gotten?
I've gotten up to the third one. I have the fourth one sitting on my shelf right now. Haven't had a chance to read it. Because I've been reading The Foundation and Ringworld.
Yeah, and Larry Niven.
Yeah. Great books.
Two very good sci-fi science fiction books.
I'm excited about the miniseries that's going on. Yeah.
It sounds cool. We have mentioned, I think, at least a couple times Ringworld on this show.
Yeah, I think which is a weird amount because we almost never talk about Ringworld like personally.
No, but I like the name of one of the settlements, We Made It, which has come up three multiple times. I think that's just a good name for a place.
It's pretty good.
But yeah, let's jump into Dune. Have you guys seen much else work from Denis Villeneuve?
I saw a fucking Polytechnique, and
that's a good one.
I want to say, what is it called? The one with Jake Gyllenhaal in it? I watched Enemy as well. Enemy with Jake Gyllenhaal, where he's like he finds a double, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's like the whole premise. But I mean, that movie was a bit weird because the whole messaging of it was kind of fucked. But those are like the two movies I've seen. I know he's worked on a couple of other ones, but none that I can remember.
I liked Prisoners, which is one that he made. Starring Hugh Jackman, I believe. Then there's Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, obviously,
That one I saw. Okay, I was waiting for a movie I recognized.
Blade Runner 2049, which feels pretty similar in a lot of ways. It's a really dusty planet they get to. Well, not planet, but you know what I mean. They get to a dusty area.
Yeah.
Dave Bautista's in it.
And very, like, it's all about, like, the images and, like, how everything's painted. So that's pretty cool. He brought over.
I think he's a good director. Definitely great visual stuff. Like,
So that's one thing about this movie. So here's my opinions on this movie. The movie, for one, looks great. I watched it on my big TV real close to me. Pretty fucking good. The sound design, I could tell it was good sound design, but I was wearing these, like, they're pretty good headphones and they're real loud, and so, like, I'm wearing them so I could talk to you and watch the movie and everything, and there is so many high-pitched sounds in this fucking movie that just, like, shoot down my spine. It's probably not a problem if you're not wearing, like, big head, like, sound canceling style, like, headphones on you while you're watching it. But it had a great music in it.
Oh yeah.
A lot go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I watched this with my girlfriend on just my TV normally, no headphones. And I had to jump back and forth in volume because the scenes where people are just talking are so quiet. But the scenes where things happen, like explosions, violence,
so
music,
fucking loud. And yeah, so there's a lot of the what do you call that kind of music?
Like ambient?
No, ambient, not ambient. Like it's like the chanting yell.
Oh, lamentation. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in here, and it gets loud.
It gets loud.
It gets loud. It gets high. Like,
and like. So I was sitting there jumping between like 30 on the TV to 70 when I needed to, and I just had to keep sitting there changing it, like, scene to scene.
Hell yeah.
Sucked.
Oh, Jesus, are you okay?
Okay.
Oh, you shouldn't have called it out. He could have just vomited quietly.
Anyway.
So yeah, one thing that I've heard a lot of people not dislike, but were confused about and didn't super enjoy about this movie, is that it only covered about the first two thirds of the first book.
Yeah, and it, like, that makes sense because it's even the first one is a pretty hefty book.
Oh, it's they're big book.
Yeah. I was talking to Marco. You went go get food during the movie because you already watched it twice or whatever. Yeah. I was talking to Marco during it, and we were saying that I think this would have probably worked better as, like, one of those high-budget TV shows they got going on, like Mandalorian or something. You give it about 8 episodes, an hour each, and then you could do a lot of the, you could flesh out a lot of the character interactions and stuff, because a lot of throughout this movie, and you get the sense that, like, there's not much going on. Like, there's a bunch of scenes where people go and have a conversation, and it feels like the movie's doing a lot more world building than it is actually having, like, a plot and conflict and everything, mm-hmm. like, start to go throughout, which, if you're doing, like, a series, or if this is, like, I'm not sure if there's, like, a confirmed Dune 2 already announced or whatever.
I don't think so.
No, yeah. It's up in the air right now.
Right? Yeah.
And they're just waiting for, like, this whole, like, movie to go through and see how much they make.
Yeah. So if it was, like, the start of a series or the first of a trilogy or something, that would be, that's fine. That you kind of need that sort of thing. But if this is it for, like, all we get of Dune, it's a bit of, like, nothing really.
I do very much hope that this is not it.
Yeah, no,
they at least get to finish the first book.
Yeah, no, this movie needs that. If, like, this movie will, because I could see the beginnings of this movie, this could be like one of the new, like, Lord of the Rings type deal, where it's like, oh, the movies are just as good as, like, a story adaptation as the books are,
and right.
Like, I could very much see this be one of those, but if this is it, then it's not that. Yeah,
it's a lot of rising action and not a whole lot of inciting incidents.
Falling
action. It's and I think that's a good point you brought up, Andrew, with the comparison to Lord of the Rings, because Dune is often compared to Lord of the Rings. It's often said to be the sci-fi equivalent.
Lord of the Rings is a fantasy and, and is a sci-fi.
Which I think is apt in scope. Like, they are both pillars of the genre.
I think it makes sense for how they affect the culture around the genre and everything. But there to like compare these stories, it's apples and oranges.
They are so different. Lord of the Rings is very much an adventure series. Like, there are slow plotting moments, but it's very much, you know, a bunch of guys go on an adventure to kill a ring or whatever. But Dune is very much a slow plotting, introspective moment of monologue.
It's like this political drama,
religion, which I love.
That's really good, especially for a book, because that makes like great literature and reading and everything. But it's definitely more of a niche taste.
I think
that's my main reason why I haven't been able to get into Dune, is because with this movie, it seems like that, and with how you've explained a lot of it to me, a lot of it does seem like it's an adventure. It's like Paul and who follows after him and everything, their adventures and whatnot. But the book is so much more than that, that's not really what it is. So, like, that's not bad or anything. Not my cup of tea.
Exactly. That is one of the big things with Dune. It is absolutely impenetrable with, like, its amount of lore and nuance and, like, just the amount of writing. And to the point where it was often considered, like, before this movie or before the 1984 one, which isn't 84, whatever. The one that in the 80s kind of cemented that. It was considered unadaptable. They were like, you just can't turn this into a movie. It's too much. And then they made the 80s one, and they were like, no, we were right, it's too much, this movie sucks.
Didn't David Lynch say this was like his worst
project it's one of ever? The only movies he's personally disappointed in.
That's pretty good.
And then there was, what is it, Jodorowsky's Dune, which never got made, but it was going to be this wild surrealist nonsense Dune movie, which sounded okay, but it didn't sound like Dune. Sounded like Jodorowsky wanted to make some fucking, like, if you had taken the drugs instead of talked about them the entire book. which that's not bad. It's just not what I would have wanted.
Yeah, no, it is. I think they are right, and Dune can't be adapted in a movie. At least one movie. You need the time in like a show or a movie series to really dig into it and flesh it out.
I'm genuinely surprised they went with the route of another movie and not a series.
Series
would have been a better idea.
Yeah, I think so too.
But yeah, I don't know. I did think this movie did like a better job than most did at condensing that first book down. Because there's a lot of scenes in here that I'm like, why are these still here? If I were making this movie, I would cut them. But there's still a lot in this movie that, like, because there was a ton that was cut.
Oh, yeah.
There was so much that was cut.
And that's crazy with, if there was that much being cut, if this is only the first, like, quarter or third or whatever.
The first, like, two-thirds.
Yeah, of the first book.
Yeah. One thing that was cut that really, I guess I can't say it really bothered me because I didn't notice it till like my third viewing. But in the books, Paul is what's known.
I don't think we talked about anything yet, so we haven't brought it up. But spoilers for Dune.
For Dune. Paul is a Mentat in the books, which is basically a human computer. He's been trained and studied through it, and his mind just processes information a lot faster than a normal person's. It's a big part of the setting. The fat dude with the weird thing on his lip, that's Thufir Hawat. He's also a Mentat. And it's a big deal that Paul is a Mentat in the book. And there's a really nice scene between him and his dad where they kind of talk about what it means to be a Mentat. Because his dad's like, they make Mentats out of different things who then take up other jobs. Mm-hmm. And if you add Mentat to another job, you get a really good version of that job. You know, Mentat accountants are really good at accounting. Mentat assassins are really good at assassinating. And they have this really nice moment of both like coming to realize and like, ah, a Mentat Duke, what good could we do with that? And it's this really nice moment between the two of them that just isn't here, and I'm not even sure Paul is a Mentat in this
movie. How it didn't seem like he had anything special about him other than the visions he gets of Zendaya.
And training with his mom.
Bene Gesserit.
Yeah, in their weirding way.
But yeah, they never brought up anything about him like thinking in a different way or like processing or being better than other people.
So him being a Mentat is a decent chunk of his character. One, Paul is basically the only multi-classed character. There are the Bene Gesserit, there are the Mentats, and the Guild Navigators. Mentats process information really quickly. The Bene Gesserit have access to all of the memories from everybody in their bloodline, and the Guild Navigators can see the future. He's the only person who can do all three of those, and those are all things you do through training. And so part of like his entire power is that, yeah, he can see the future, and yeah, he can see the past, but it requires his Mentat mind to piece it all together and make it into something usable. Where that's not really even here in this, which is
can he even see the past in this?
He doesn't get that till the part that they're not into in the book yet.
He
will eventually, presumably, if they bring that up. They probably will, because it's a big part of another character.
Maybe they'll bring both bits up in the second part of Dune.
That's what you had said to me before, that maybe they'll bring up that he's a Mentat in the second part, but then you're having like a weird at best flashback of somebody telling him.
Maybe it's new information he's learning in the next one, but like I said, because I'm trying to think back to like moments where that might be, and if they do that, there's like no foreshadowing or setup for it at all. It's just kind of,
and that like could it feels work.
It, like I guess it wouldn't be, but it feels like it'd be a retcon. Yeah.
But like that could work, because part of the Mentat training process is they train you as a Mentat, but they don't tell you that that's what they're doing, because you'd get in your own head about it until you're like of a certain age. Then they tell you, and then suddenly your mind clicks in and boom, you're a Mentat. Which I guess could work for a retcon like this kind of deal, but it's supposed to have already have happened. And even if it didn't happen, he's still supposed to be like cold and calculating, because he is processing. More like a computer.
That didn't feel like this character in the movie at all.
Like he's cold, but that's because he's played by Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, he's not cold. He's distant. Dry.
Yeah,
is how I want to.
He's for Dune.
He's bland. Like I don't know if that, I'm not gonna say that that's this actor or anything. It might be the direction they chose for the character. Or something. There's a whole lot of things it could be, but this feels like, you know, there's that trope in writing where you make like a blank wall of a character, so it's real easy to project yourself onto it. This feels like someone turned that up to 10. Let's get the blankest fucking wall up there, right? Pretty bland. And I've heard you describe Paul before in things. He sounds interesting, especially that he gets like a worm son hybrid. That sounds dope. I'm gonna mention that now. Thing I was looking forward to most in this movie was Big Worm, and whoever did the design of the Big Worm in this one, grade A job. Big hairy butthole worm, maybe the best choice I've ever gotten. And that, it might sound like I'm being sarcastic, I'm not, I'm being genuine. That
he was worm real excited ruled.
He was so excited. Every time a worm was on screen, he was like, a big hairy butthole worm.
Not even that. Strange. Anytime he saw any ship or anything, he's like, that's kind of phallic.
That looks like a lot of it. Okay, the like ship that they have orbiting the planet, it's a big tube. It looks it looks so much like someone took a wing and a bum hole and mashed it together into one design. They got both in one, and whoever made that design is pretty skilled that they did that.
I think he just had genitalia on the mind.
I don't think so. I recognized one was a dragonfly. That one clearly wasn't.
Because it just wasn't.
But that, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That one clearly wasn't. The other things clearly were.
Yeah, that's...
No, you're telling me that worm and that ship weren't phallic as hell?
That wasn't the first thing I thought of.
Look, yeah, that wasn't my first thought.
But are you telling me I'm wrong?
No, they're long cylinders. Of course, they're phallic.
Okay.
That's how phallic works. Anyway, Jesus. So this probably won't mean much to you, Andrew, but Marco, because you read the book first.
Yeah, we're testing your knowledge here, Marco. Yeah, get ready for a pop quiz.
All right.
All of the technology and the way things looked probably looked different in your head than the way you saw them on screen. Did they look good? I thought
they looked great. I mean, the fact of no like computers, because they banned like AI and stuff, like it just felt good and natural. Some of the armor designs, like I agreed with you when we were talking about like the Fremen like armor design for when they were fighting in his vision. Like if it's just a Power Ranger. Like
best design in the movie.
No, it sucked. I hated it.
It was pretty. I was into the last like bit of it when it's like a Power Ranger Paul flipping over doing little stabs. Pretty good.
I hated
good.
That so much.
I thought some of the armor design was a bit weird and bland and kind of uninspired.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought like just the design of everything was pretty nice.
Yeah, I think it had a nice aesthetic.
Look, as someone who's not like looking at it through the eyes of this is a translation of something I know, a lot of the like prop and costume design in this was pretty cool. Like I liked all the desert robes in a desert, almost always good. The armor, we did bring it up in the movie.
We did.
The helmet of the which
Atreides.
Armor was
Atreides.
It? Yeah, so the helmet of that armor made the whole armor look much dumber.
But when there was no helmet,
anybody wearing it without the helmet, it looked pretty cool.
It looked pretty cool. Yeah. Like Oscar Isaac's Duke Leto in it was cool looking. I thought it looked pretty good. But yeah, when you brought up the helmet on one of the Atreides guards, I was like, oh, suddenly looks like it's made of cardboard.
What's the suit called? The piss and sweat suit?
The still suit?
The still suit.
I thought they looked all right.
I don't understand why they didn't have little goggles on the mask. If you're going to hold up a mask to your face in a sandstorm, it should have. That bothered me so much during this movie. Nobody was wearing goggles and was flying everywhere.
In the book, they do have
goggles. They do have goggles.
Yeah, I think there's like a couple eyes. Characters that have goggles in like, it, but not nearly enough.
Well, in the book, in the Frem kit, they specifically say there are sand goggles in there.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't want to do it, I guess.
Yeah, and it bothered me heaps when Paul decided when to wear a mask and when not to wear a mask.
Yeah, it was strange on his part. Like, but they needed him to not wear a mask so he could get drugged.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But like, if he's supposed to be a smart dude, you see this wave of sand coming at you, you're not even gonna like pull your shirt up. He had a built-in mask for that reason. He's not gonna be oh damn and pull it up.
I do like there's the bit in the book, but the bit in the movie where Paul comes out in his still suit and Liad Kynes is like, oh, you wear this well, who taught you? And he's like, nobody taught me, it just sort of seemed like the right thing to do. And it's like this big moment. Then they go out in the desert and he's not wearing the nose plug that he's supposed to be.
Yeah. Does that have to do with the seeing the past, maybe?
That he knows? Yeah.
Yeah, that he knows how to put that suit on. Okay.
It's part of the like prophecy thing. It's what's the phrasing? He will know your ways as though he was born to them.
Yeah, I think that's what she says after that. But like it kind of seems like maybe he's just a smart guy. Like,
that's
maybe,
basically yeah. The, yeah. In the book.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
He's just a clever person, and yeah. He saw it and he was like, well, we're he beamed at it himself for that reference on Twitter. He studied the design and he saw what made sense.
Yeah, no, like that's like someone like figuring out how Velcro works, and then like someone's like, oh my god, is he Jesus? Jesus is supposed to know how Velcro works.
Like how to fix your pants so the ankles are right.
Yeah, how to roll up your fucking pant legs if your jeans are too long.
Look, I mean, I guess if I had a special kind of clothing that had like if somebody, I guess, is wearing like a mid-century corset.
Marty right McFly way. Figured out how his like cool future clothes work. And nobody was like, oh my God, it's Jesus. It's our Messiah. Clothes aren't that hard to figure out. Well, okay.
Well, but they were also not told like that there was someone who could do all these things without being told to do them.
Yeah, there's also the Bene Gesserit who are going around literally just lying to people, setting it up later to help out, which is one of my favorite things in the books. It's called the Missionaria Protectiva. It's the Bene Gesserit, this order of like matriarchal witches, basically go to like backwards planets and are just like, no, I'm a holy woman, and then they just start like spreading around rumors and lies and like cult-like behavior, and they just did it so early that people just start to believe it after like a few hundred years, just in case they
it's a good move. It's
they tell like all of their like sisterhood, like when they go out to other planets, like, hey, like if you crash down or you just need like a place to stay or people to like help you out, just start talking about this religion we made up and they'll help you.
Yeah. Is there like a book or something you could reference? Yeah. Like, oh, okay, this planet, we have these lies going around.
We have this lie specifically, and this will get you this food.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Bene Gesserit handbook.
Yeah, you got a little crash onto sheet. A planet.
There's the handbook that comes with an orange Catholic Bible, and then they just have both. Which, that's one thing that I'm not surprised didn't come up in this movie. Catholicism's still around in Dune, but they had people reading Bibles, but they don't talk about it.
Yeah, they don't. Speaking about books and Dune and everything, I mentioned this during the movie. Something about this movie made me go, God, I want more Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah. Like, there's something about the aesthetics and the visuals of this movie.
We were talking about how fold space works.
Oh yeah, it was fold
space. And what the Highlander is for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much like in Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide, where everybody takes their ship, parks it in a bigger ship, and then that ship goes.
But how much it would rule to have like a big budget Hitchhiker's Guide movie? Like
Denis Villeneuve's Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah, give me that. That would rule. Just get the people that made this movie, get someone who's good at comedy, Bill Hader, maybe.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Tim Robinson.
Honestly, Tim Robinson.
Edgar Wright's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy would rule.
Yeah. Give me someone like that to just fill it with the jokes, because those books are fucking hilarious. If you haven't read Hitchhiker's Guide, read Hitchhiker's Guide.
If you need us to tell you that, do it.
All right, so this is a tangent off the tangent. There was one time I was listening through the books and I had my good friend Adam over, and I listen to books as I go to sleep, so I put it on and we're falling asleep. They talk about this alien race that has currency that is too big to be useful. Like, I think like they got like a 3-cent coin or something like that, that's like 2 miles long or whatever, so nobody gets more than that because it's just far too big. And that joke fucking killed us laughing, like jolted us both out of drowsiness because it was so fucking funny.
And then I promptly went back to sleep and you stayed up for another like 4 hours
because this motherfucker could drop to sleep like a
I can go to sleep at the drop of a hat. All I have to do is be like, it's time to sleep, and then I'm gone.
I remember telling a story to both these people while I was over, and Adam was just fast asleep in the middle of my story.
Yeah.
It made me feel like I was real boring.
I remember that because you guys kept being like, Adam, are you asleep? And I'd wake up like, what?
So fucking good. Oh. No, okay, while we're on this tangent, one more bit. So one time we were like, me and Adam were about to go to sleep, and we just finished watching the BuzzFeed Unsolved True Crime, and there's a bit where it's talking
Tylenol poisonings.
Yeah, so it's talking about like all the people that got poisoned from the like pills that he dropped in, and multiple of them were named Mary.
Like a significant portion of them were named Mary.
And like that wasn't brought up or anything, but like I'm almost going to sleep, which is rare for him.
Yeah,
I'm drifting off almost to sleep.
I've been asleep for like 20 minutes.
This dude jolts awake, turns and yells, and he's like, "Wait, the Marys were a coincidence?" And it, like, on my heart.
I remember you were so startled.
And I was so startled. I'm like, yeah, man, I guess. And he goes, oh, weird. It turns around and just goes back to sleep.
Instantly.
And I was up for another 3 fucking hours.
I remember when we did eventually wake up in the morning, you turned and were just so actually mad.
I was so
at me.
Pissed.
Just so genuinely upset with me.
But anyways, fucking Dune.
Yeah, back to Dune. I think the movie was pretty good all in all. Like, obviously I want to see more, but if this was all we got, I wouldn't be happy, but it's at least a good movie.
Yeah, it's at least not bad.
Which this is movie, surprising.
This movie definitely needs more. Like, right. it needs sequels. But if it gets them and the quality like stays on par, then this could be a really good series.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This
I love
could be
it,
a great series. One of the best adaptations of something. Like it could do it.
Yeah, it could go the distance. I'd be surprised if it got more than like the third book in.
Oh yeah, I think it should maybe get to just finish off the first one at least.
Yeah,
but it needs, because this movie, like I said, is so much set up and everything with like no payoff or
very like, little payoff.
Yeah. And that's one thing that in the movie. So we're watching the movie, and I brought up the fact that I'm like, oh, it feels like there's no conflict in this movie. It feels like there's nothing going on.
It was very
on.
Funny. You said that and, as soon
yeah,
as the conflict.
And both of them started. Are like, oh, it's going to happen right now. And then it happened, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. And it felt very much like a third act finale. And then it feels like the
and
movie
then there was
finishes.
Like another hour left in the
and
movie.
And then I'm like, oh, that was a pretty good movie. All right. And then there's like another hour left, and I hadn't eaten all day after I watched it. I was starving. I'm like, oh, thank God, that was pretty good. And then it drags its feet for like another hour. I'm like, God damn it. And there's some good nuggets in that last hour, but it does not need to be an hour of
no,
that.
There's
like
a lot of that they could have cut.
Yeah, like a lot of it could have ended with them going into the desert. The next one picks up like at the end of this one when they meet Zendaya and the crew. There's just a line that like, we've been wandering the desert for a while.
Right. And it could have easily, or even start with them wandering the desert. Then way it does in this. Just, I don't think it really needed to be broken up this way. I think it's actually a pretty weird way to cut it.
Yeah,
there.
It's so...
To cut it right after he kills Jameis is just strange.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I did like him killing Jameis. I thought that was a good, well choreographed, like it looked
nice. You weren't here when we were watching it, but we're watching it and I was watching it with Marco, and I brought up that so they're talking about how Jameis, I guess his name is a good fighter and everything, and like it's supposed to be like, oh, but Paul's like a better fighter. How the fight was going didn't seem like Paul was a better fighter. It seemed like the other guy was just kind of a bad one. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't seem like Paul was winning the fight on skill of his own, which I guess like he was, that's like what was going on. But that fight did not give that feeling at all. It's like they're like, oh, this is like, he's a good fighter and everything, you're gonna die quick. And it's like, was he, were you lying to me? Was it? Were you
most of what he does is shout and then push him with his shoulder.
It was
weird.
And like he easily like got the drop on him like three times or whatever and didn't kill him.
Because which is the thing I brought up because I did eventually catch part of that.
You said it earlier. We were talking about
it. Yeah, I said it earlier. That's right. I also have,
because me and Marco finished off this movie together. We brought it home.
I went and got some broccoli cheddar soup. Yeah. That's right. So in the book, the reason why it takes Paul so long to kill Jameis, why everybody's like, oh, stop toying with him, is because Paul is trained to fight with a shield. And with a shield, you're quick on attack or quick on defense, slow on attack, because you need to be moving slow enough to get through the shield. Mm-hmm. So every time when he's fighting somebody who's not wearing a shield, he's very quick to bring the knife up to their neck. Then he gets really slow to get to like cut their neck. But because he's not wearing a shield, like, and he knows what's going on, when he slows down, he just moves out of the way. And so he's like, hey, man, stop messing with him. If you're going to kill him, kill him. But he's like, I just muscle memory. I was trained wrong.
But in this one, they say it's because he's never killed a guy.
Because he's never killed a man.
Yeah.
Which, like, yeah.
I didn't see it, but Marco, like, got, like, a real, like, finicky about the detail that there's no stab wound in the back.
Oh yeah. Like, when Paul stabs him in the back, you see him bring the blade out and it's covered in blood.
Right.
When he falls on the floor, there's no blood coming out. No blood coming out, but there's still blood on his blade.
Yeah, no, I missed it. Marco kept saying it. I'm like, movie, show me his back so I could see the mistake you've made, please.
No, I get why there's no blood coming out of him. In the books, there's a clear line of dialogue that states all Fremen just naturally growing up on Dune Their blood coagulates super quickly to make sure they don't spill wasted water.
Yeah.
So after he pulled the blade out, blood coagulated. No spilled blood.
No spilled blood.
But he should have still seen a blood.
Still no wound.
Yeah, I don't think there was a wound.
I like the Chris knife design. I thought it looked cool. Normally they don't look great, but I thought it looked cool.
Oh yeah, it did look pretty sweet. It didn't look. Maybe it's because like it was cleaned and polished and everything, but when they said it was a different color than the yeah, it didn't look like it was the same as they said it was from the mouth, a tooth of the Dune worm. But it didn't look like that.
Because all of those were very dark in color.
Yeah.
And then the Chris knives were white, which they're supposed to be. In the book, they're supposed to be.
Yeah, maybe it's because you polish it down.
Yeah, you cut it and then you polish it, so that's probably why.
That's probably why. Also, a lot of them have, like, carves inlaid in them, so you can put poison, because the Dune universe loves poison.
Mm-hmm.
Poison sick, dog.
Was any of the visions he got, did you guys feel like most of them, like maybe it's for the sequel, but did you feel like most of them didn't really matter by the end of the movie?
Yes. Especially the ones with Jamis.
Yeah,
because he has visions of him like, I'll teach you the ways of the desert, and visions of him or visions of Jamis stabbing him in the stomach, but no, he just kills Jamis and it's all fun.
And
I guess, like, those are presumably he's, because he doesn't just see the future, he sees possible futures.
Yeah,
his mentat mind picks out the one that's the most likely.
Yeah, but I guess in this, like, because he never killed anyone, maybe it was most likely that he wouldn't have killed it,
right?
Because their hard rules are somebody's gonna die.
Yeah.
So it's either he was gonna die or
he does have a vision of himself dying and getting stabbed in the
side. So either of them were gonna die. So he wouldn't be there for him to be like, oh, I'll teach you the ways of the desert.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Don't get it.
I guess the Zendaya ones were just to Zendaya's in this movie. Wait till 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't be like me, who's like, oh, the movie's about to wrap up. Maybe I should go piss and leave. Yeah. And then you come back and
you know Zendaya.
Well, no, I would, because there's an hour left of the movie. I come back into the theater. I'm like, ooh, after credit scene. I sit there, watch, stand there.
Like, oh, my God, this is like an hour.
Oh, this is, I guess the movie just wasn't over then, huh?
There was a lot more projectiles in this than I was expecting. Like, even though shields, like, the whole point of them is that nobody uses guns.
Yeah.
A lot of people still use weird little dart guns.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't super into, but it's fine, I guess.
Yeah. I, not knowing about the Dune lore, got excited when Paul pulled out again. I'm like, oh, fuck yes, finally.
Yeah, and that's a Maul pistol. Which are like spring loaded.
Yeah, Marco said they get through shields.
They can get through shields.
Yeah,
they fire slow enough that if the person's not moving, it'll probably get through them. But if you run at the bullet,
that's what I was thinking. How they fight and everything, they like bring it. What if you just move your neck real fast?
Yeah, that works. Yeah. That's why it's fast on defense. That's just part of
hell yeah.
But like, if I like that, because the Maul pistol, like, if you move towards it, you'll deflect it. But if you run away, that means relative to you, it's now moving slower.
Slower.
Which means if you're running away, it's more likely to shoot you in the back.
Hell yeah.
And I think that just about covers us on Dune.
Yeah.
We didn't really get to talk about Dr. Yue and how, like, he was
because he was so forgettable in the movie.
Which he shouldn't be. He's kind of one of the most important
characters.
Yeah.
So in the book, Dr. Yue is what's known as a Sook school doctor, who is basically, their whole shtick is that they are trained, bred, beaten into it, that they are not allowed to break the habeas corpus. No, that's the wrong one. The Hippocratic Oath. That's the one. Which means they're not allowed to hurt people. They can't hurt anybody. That's why they get the little diamond on their head to prove that, the whole thing. And his big thing is that he breaks that. He betrays them. He hurts people. And it's supposed to be this shocking thing because it's like, that's not supposed to be possible. But in this, is like he's some random fucking guy who.
He's just a guy who's around. And then like it's like, oh, big reveal. He's a traitor. And it's like, who's this guy?
Yeah. Who's this fucking guy? Why do I care that he's a traitor? Who's this guy's wife that matters to him enough to do this? I do quite enjoy. I think it's very funny that the books are so like silent on what a school doctor actually can do, like what actually makes them special, that in this, they're like, I don't know. He puts his hands to your head.
That bit in the movie. So he does that, and then like he's like, "Oh, I need to take your vitals," and then he puts his hands up to Paul's head, and then Paul, I think he says like, "What are you doing?" or "What's going on?" or something like that. I'm like, "Wait, is this not supposed to happen? Is that not how he does
it?" Talking about what his mom's doing.
Yeah, but it seemed like that wasn't what was supposed to be going on. And this guy just came and started touching the side of his head. All I'm like, okay, I guess.
That reminds me, the Gom Jabbar scene. Pretty good, I thought.
I liked it.
One of the better parts of the movie.
Which part was that?
She puts the needle to his neck and he puts his hand in the box.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I mean,
it'd be easy to mess that scene up.
But I wouldn't be able to pass that. I'd be like, painless death or like 5 minutes of intense pain? Thank you, and slam my neck on her needle.
Not a human. I don't know. I think they could have done a lot more with UA. Even just another scene with him talking to anybody.
A few of the characters in this movie felt like they could have done with a good amount of more interaction and development.
This is why he's
probably the standout, but
this is why I wanted the traitor scene. The scene where they're all like, who the fuck is the traitor? Is it you? Is it me?
Because that's a big part in the book. In the book, they know there's a traitor like as soon as they get to Arrakis, and like they're all like, oh, is the Lady Jessica the traitor? Is Thufir the traitor? They're all trying to like figure each other out. And then it's revealed to be Yue, and none of them suspected Yue because he's supposed to be impossible to do that. Yeah. It's kind of like the whole mystery of it.
Yeah.
But in this, there wasn't even any
setup for a traitor or anything. It wasn't like, oh, there's a mole or there was information that got out or should it? It's like attack happens and he's like, it was because of me.
Yeah. And then he gives him a little fake tooth to shoot gas.
Yeah.
I thought that they were going to do it like right after the Hunter Seeker scene. When Leto was talking to
Thufir.
Yeah. He was like I thought right there. Yeah. I thought right there it was going to be like, all right, get everybody together. We're going to find out who the fuck this, like who's the mole? Mm-hmm. Who's the spy? Because he says,
find some goddamn spies.
Yeah. So I thought there was going to be something happening there. Yeah.
And then UA dies pretty nothingly as well. He goes to the
Baron. Oh, yeah, that was so predictable. He's like, oh, you're going to get me with, put me back with my wife? And it's like, oh, so he's going to kill him? Yeah.
He says it like, he says such a weirdly specific phrasing that it's like, oh, your part of the deal was to deliver her from her agony.
Yeah.
Like, that only sounds like killing her.
Yeah.
That doesn't even sound like a joke or poor choice of words.
Yeah.
That just sounds like you're talking about killing her.
Yeah.
And then he dies. He gets his head chopped off by a steak knife. Yeah, it was.
Chopped off or it slit his throat?
He was chopped off.
He was chopped off.
He held the head afterwards. Yeah. Really cool. I guess Baron's just a strong guy. He's real fat though.
Yeah.
In the book, I mentioned this while we were watching it. The Duke's gas attack kills Piter or whatever. But the Baron doesn't touch it at all. He jumps away and is completely fine. This, he gets sprayed like front on.
Right in the face.
He should be dead.
Yeah.
I guess Yue was just wrong in that it would be enough to kill him.
I guess him being big and then him like taking that black bath or whatever.
Yeah, him taking that skinny dip in crude oil.
Yeah, dude, because they said something about it healing him or whatever.
His healing's not complete.
Yeah, okay.
As it's famous of me, I hate Dave Bautista, and he plays the Beast Raban. And I was justifying it to myself, because in the book, the Beaster Bond is just a big idiot that everybody yells at and says is a big idiot. And if that's what they did to the Dave Bautista, I'd be okay with. That's fine. Yell at
him.
No
one really did
stupid.
That. Yeah.
No, but nobody did
nobody
that.
Yelled at him. He was even doing a lot more yelling.
Yeah. Even at the end, when the Baron has this big moment where he's like, oh, we saw them go into the sandstorm. They must be dead. In the book, he pops out and he's like, did you see their bodies? And Dave Bautista's like, no, I didn't. He's like, then you don't know they're fucking dead. Get out there and keep looking for them. But in this, he's like, good. We did it.
Hell yeah.
Back to my bath.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because his plan, because he told the lady who knows, who's like a lie detector, that he wasn't going to kill him. And then he's like, I'm not going to kill them. The desert is. So I guess if they're in the desert, he's like, check mark, plan done.
Yeah, but he's at least see their body.
Speaking of, what did Dave Bautista do in this movie?
Nothing. He stood around a little bit and yelled.
Okay. I was like, did I miss it or did I zone it out? Because I did zone out a couple. Like, there was like twice where I'm watching this movie and I just started staring at like the ceiling above my TV. And
I do remember that. And I do remember that you also like hurt your neck while you're watching it.
Yeah.
Can I not look up at my TV?
Yeah, like I like pulled my neck and I rolled it a bit and luckily it went away. But I'm like, look, I just might not watch this movie if I can't look at it. That's too much work at this point. But anyways, boys, final thoughts on Dune.
Give it a number score. We never
score.
9 out of 10. I think that's fair.
Yeah, okay.
I'll give it like an 8. I really think that traitor scene was pretty
fair.
The
last thing I want to talk about before the water scene where he's talking about the palm trees,
the date palm.
I was like, there is no
reason. Why was that left there?
Yeah, I was like, there's no reason this should be in the film, because I get that they're trying to talk about how important the water is, but it is shown literally a scene later when Stilgard gets there and he spits on the ground.
How important
water is. And I'm like, that shouldn't have been there.
I can't believe they left the palm tree scene, but cut out the Mentat scene.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's a weird choice. But this movie, as it stands right now, I'm probably gonna give it like a 5 or 6. I'll say 6, give it the benefit. If sequels come out and they build up on this and like the story actually goes somewhere, probably raise that up, because this movie is good setup, like for
but
stuff.
But if there's no payoff.
Yeah, but that's all it is setup.
Yeah, I get that. I hope we get God Emperor of Dune and we get a big fat worm, man.
Dude.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd be real into that. You tell me worms are going to be fucking big? But that's it for Dune, I think.
Yeah, that'll do us for talking about Dune.
That'll do it. Dude, I'm just great at this.
I appreciate that.
Well, did you guys not hear me? I said that would Dune us after Adam said that'll do us.
No, I didn't hear that.
It's in the audio. They'll hear it. Anyways, thanks for listening, you guys.
If you wanted to talk to us about Dune or tell us we're wrong, you can do that at theatomicemail@gmail.com,
or you could find us on Instagram at atomicandroid2020
or Twitter at atomicandroids.
Yeah, you guys heard that before, unless you're here specifically for the Dune content, and if so, welcome, we're glad to have you.
I love Dune. Marco, do you have anything to plug?
I don't. I don't want any weirdos following me.
Fair enough. Stay the fuck away from Marco Gomez.
I don't know if you've done anything on Twitch for a while. So
but I've ended that journey a long time ago.
Damn, that's sad. But anyway, goodbye.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Marco, they can't see you.
I know they can't see me.
Why are you waving?
Because
who are you waving at?
You?
Oh, okay, thanks.
Oh, hey Marco.
Hey.
Hello.
If this is used, we wave to each other.
Fuck this.
Yeah, our end card is going to be you listening to that bit, and then
and you'll run it back.
Probably us talking about the end card.
Oh, yeah, he just fell. You guys are freaking out way too much for just a broken chair.
Because it was a brand new chair, and I had, like, no clue what was going on. And Adam's on his back like a fucking turtle trying to roll over.
Because I didn't just fall. I like leaned this way down. Uh-huh. My legs were slightly above. And I was like, no. Pause the episode.
That happened at exactly 1:38.
Just for you future the references. Wrong spot.
Seven All right, seconds. Let's fucking do this episode.
Let's do this.
We're already recording. No, don't repeat "let's do this thing" so you could use it in the episode.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.